south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, how about we start out with a gringo Latina dating romance encounter that did not go well. In other words, this would be a cautionary tale of what can happen to you if you get on those Latina Cupid mating dating sites. In other words, don't let this happen to you. Now, you longtime listeners have heard me talk about my brother who has come down many times to Latin America to visit me. He came down for stem cell treatments. You might remember he has almost as many crazy continuing stories as expat Eddie. I've called him the stem cell poster child because he was on 21 meds when he came down here. And the stem cell docs instantly knocked him back to 10 or less before he even got the stem cells. Then they detoxed him and everything. He got the stem cells. Had a miraculous recovery, or I should say reversal, of all the symptoms and problems he had. He became a new man, really. But what I didn't mention, or maybe I mentioned it just ever so slightly, is that when he came down here, he found the Latina of his dreams. Now, he'd been coming down here for over a couple of years, back and forth from Chicago, a week, 2 weeks, a month at a time. And of course, I always put him up and hung with him. So anyway, by hook and crook, my Latina girlfriend hooked him up with a girl that she pre-qualified, you know, and set him up on a blind date. She was a beautiful young girl who worked every day in her mother's cafeteria. She was so busy going to work and going to school that she didn't have a boyfriend. Now, of course, my brother was a single gringo guy, had that gringo advantage going for him, all right. Anyway, you know how some ladies are. They love to be matchmakers, and my Latina girlfriend was one of those. So she hooked up my brother. Everything went really fine. My brother even ended up renting an apartment and moving her in, getting her away from the clutches of her mother, who sort of treated her like a slave. You know, she worked in her mom's cafeteria. And as you well know, if you're working for family, they almost never pay you the going rate and have a tendency to abuse you and make you work crazy long extra hours. So anyway, my brother hit the jackpot with this girl. She was the best thing for him at the time, too, because my brother's wife died young in an accident a couple of years earlier. And my brother really needed someone to help him get out of that funk. Naturally, when his wife died, he was feeling low and depressed. But now, there was another lady in his life, so he had something to live for. Something to look forward to. That's why he made so many trips here to Latin America. So anyway, my brother had a best friend up in Chicago. Let's call him Jimmy. Jimmy had been married 7 or 8 years. He had 2 kids. And as it turns out, I only found this out later, he was extremely jealous of my brother's relationship with his new Latina girlfriend. Because Jimmy, you see, was having big time troubles with his gringo wife, who he said turned into a completely different person after she had the 2 kids. He told my brother it was like 2 people living separate lives in the same house. He said his wife didn't want to be intimate with him anymore. She was treating him more like a brother than a husband. She was a changed person. She didn't want to go out anymore, have fun, or at least not with him. She'd go out with her girlfriends, but the marriage was on the rocks. Odd thing was, they were separated, but living in the same house. Now, I didn't know any of this because Jimmy is my brother's friend. Of course, I knew the guy. He was my brother's good friend since the high school years, so I'd seen him off and on, but he wasn't my hanging out or partying friend particularly. Though I'd see him at events and stuff and at get-togethers with my brother, but we never hung. Anyway, my brother brought this guy down to Latin America twice just to show him what it was like and show him the ropes a little bit. Since this guy, this gringo, said over and over again after meeting my brother's girlfriend that he wanted to get a Latina girlfriend too. He said he and his wife had already agreed to get a divorce. They just had to make the move and sign the papers. So anyway, when Jimmy came down here to Latin America with my brother, I got to hear the whole story about his failing marriage. And the take I got from him was that he didn't want to cheat on his wife. He just wanted to get a divorce, start a new life, come down to Latin America, find a Latina, and bring her back up to the States. And I told him what I tell everyone who's got that idea. It's a big mistake. It almost never works out. If you're looking for a Latina wife or Latina girlfriend, you got to stay down here with them. Or you're just asking for trouble. It's funny, too, when I give that kind of advice, guys always agree with me. Yeah, Johnny, you're right. But they don't listen. And I'll tell you, one of the first things that came out of his mouth was, Johnny, I'm going to get me a Latina girlfriend. And I said, well, are you ready to have another family? Because Latinas all want to have kids, you know. Are you ready for that? And he looked at me and said, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Then he said to me, but Johnny, you have a Latina girlfriend. You've had Latina girlfriends all the while you've lived down here, and you don't have any kids. And I said, oh, so you noticed that, huh? Well, I can tell you one thing. Every Latina I've ever been out with told me she wanted to have kids. Well, you know, sometimes it's just physically impossible for some people to have kids. It could be plumbing problems, any number of things. Then I said, have you noticed neither I nor my two brothers has any kids and we're all over 50 years old? He said, yeah, come to think of it, it is sort of strange. And neither of you guys is gay, though these days that doesn't stop anyone from having kids, though it's a little tougher. He said, right, but what's up with that? Three brothers, no kids. I said, Jimmy, did you ever take a probability and statistics course? He said, no. Should I? I said, well, that would explain it. So anyway, he expressed his interest more than a couple of times that he wanted to end up with a beautiful Latina girl like my brother had and bring her back to the States, which my brother did not do. He was planning on moving down here permanently. Anyway, as for Jimmy, after being down here a couple of weeks, he went back to the States, and that's the last I heard for about a year, year and a half. Now, about that time, which was just a couple of months ago, my brother phoned me up and said, you won't believe what happened to Jimmy. Well, he was really serious about getting a Latina girlfriend. He went on one of those Latina Cupid sites, a Colombian Cupid site, started texting back and forth with a beautiful Colombian girl who spoke, he said, pretty good English. And when her English failed, they went to the translation apps. He, Jimmy, by the way, spoke just enough Spanish to order at Taco Bell. He said she was a knockout, way above his pay grade. He'd never gone out with a girl that beautiful ever in the States. That went on for a couple of months. He sent her a little money here and there by Western Union. All the while, this was only going on through text messages and on WhatsApp. They'd yet to see each other in person. They were just exchanging texts and photos. My brother said she would send Jimmy really sexy nude shots, too, mixed in with beach and pool shots and playing with the dog. Now, Jimmy was naive, kind of like my brother. He didn't know that that's usually a big red flag if you're looking for a nice, stable relationship. Good girls in Latin America don't send nude photos of themselves to guys they've never met. Then came another big red flag. It seemed about every week or even every couple of days, Jimmy would start the conversation off, how's things going? And she'd say, well, not too good. Or something along those lines. And he'd say, why? What's going on? And she'd lay some kind of family problem on him that could only be solved with money. She or the family were always short on money for something. Grandma needed new medication. The air conditioning broke, needed fixing. Her brother's cell phone got stolen. Her mother fell down and had to go to the emergency room. It seems like every other day there was a minor tragedy that needed an influx of funds. It didn't take long for Jimmy to drop over $1,500 on her. After about 3 months anyway, Jimmy wised up and cut her off completely. Just blocked her phone number. Then, within a day, he got another WhatsApp message from a different number. It was her again, insulting and screaming at him, saying, why'd you cut me off, etc., etc. He wrote back something like, find another gringo to finance your life. Then he blocked that second number, too. And within a day, he got another call, a different WhatsApp number. This time, it came from a guy, claiming she was his girlfriend and accusing Jimmy of trying to steal her, making unfulfilled promises to her. The guy demanded $2,000 from Jimmy. And Jimmy thought, this is bullshit. And he blocked that number as well. He thought, hell, they're 3,000 miles away from me. What can they do? Nothing. And if they're so hard up for dough, they could never possibly get any revenge going. That costs money too. Well, get this. A day or two later, Jimmy got an email at his trusty Gmail account. Because remember, he and that girl were talking for a couple of months, and a lot was said, including Jimmy giving her his email, telling her personal things like where he works and where he lived in Chicago, exchanging photos with her of him around the house and at events and at the beach, things like that. Anyway, he gets this email. It's got an attachment with all those pictures that Jimmy sent, and pictures of the Colombian girl, many of her completely naked and in very compromising positions, along with some dick pics that weren't even his. He said he never sent a dick pic. My brother said Jimmy swears they weren't his dick pics. Who's to say, though, huh? Now, according to my brother, while Jimmy was reading that email, he had a terrible sinking sensation in his stomach and his heart. He knew this was going to be bad. Because then, further down in the email, there was a photo of the building he worked at. and the names and emails of around six different people that worked at that company, including some of the big bosses. That's when Jimmy started freaking out. He said to himself, what an idiot I was to give out all that personal information. And where I work. What a dummy. Then it's easy enough to go to that website and go to the contact page and see a list of a lot of the people who work there and their contact emails. Isn't that nice? And Jimmy said it was a big enough company to be posted on LinkedIn. So all you have to do is go to LinkedIn, plug in the company, and you can get a list of some of the big wigs and the principal employees and their emails and contact numbers too. In the end, it was an extortion letter. Oh, and he said in that email there was an attachment that included all their WhatsApp personal texts. All that lovey-dovey sexy stuff. And at the bottom, the punchline. If you don't send $2,000 to so-and-so particular person by Western Union, all these photos, et cetera, are going off to your wife, and then they named his wife and her email too, as well as that list of people who worked with him. And it said all this stuff will be posted on their Facebook and Instagram accounts too. Well, Jimmy panicked, called my brother. My brother called me, asked for advice. I said, Jimmy, you pay those people $2,000, that'll never be the end of it. It'll be another $2,000 in who knows, 6 months, 2 months, whatever. If I was you and depending on your situation at work, call their bluff. And here's what I'd do, but I know you won't do it because you probably don't know how. I'd get on that artificial intelligence site, ChatGPT. I'd tell the AI program to compose a one-page letter. A letter an FBI investigator might write while investigating an extortion scheme. Have ChatGPT worded exactly like an internal memo coming out of the FBI. I'd put that girl's name down, all the WhatsApp contact numbers, where she lived, the Western Union contact, where the money's supposed to go. Make sure ChatGPT puts all that in the letter with the official FBI logo on it. Create a case number, address, and contact numbers. ChatGPT can do that, you know, find any piece of stationery with any kind of logo existing on the internet. And you know, it can compose any kind of official letter you want on any subject, whatever length you want, and in whatever style you like. However detailed you want it, all of that in a thoroughly professional and convincing manner. Now, again, if it were me and I was in Jimmy's mess, I'd have ChatGPT prepare that document in English and Spanish and fire it off to that girl, if it's a girl, and her extortion buddies. You know, if you're smart and you do something like that, you have a very good chance of scaring the hell out of those people. Call their bluff with a letter like that and they just might disappear. But that's just me. That's what I would do. Am I devious or what? Either way, though, Jimmy's in a tough spot. All because he never met that girl in person. He doesn't even know if she's real. That's the problem with these Cupid sites. A lot of those girls aren't even girls out there. They're just organized extortion rackets. Oh, and I forgot to mention, in one of those WhatsApp messages to Jimmy, the so-called pissed-off boyfriend said in his text, $2,000 isn't anything for a gringo. It's pocket change, so what's the holdup? Obviously to me anyway. Jimmy just had the bad luck of the draw because I'm sure there are lots of nice girls on those Cupid sites. Real flesh and blood girls. Not just scammers running a kind of extortion racket call center. Now, while we're on this subject, I might as well tell you my top two tips that weed out the good from the bad girls on these sites. Though again, you might not want a good girl. You might want a bad one. Takes all kinds, huh? Tip number one, she should be ready and willing to do a video call with you, a live video call at any time. Not tomorrow, not next week. If, for example, you're on the line and you say, let's video conference, and she says, I can't right now because my camera's broken or my phone has a bad internet connection. Well, I'll tell you, that won't fly because there isn't a single woman down here that does not have a good internet connection. And there isn't a single woman down here who has a cell phone with a broken camera. They have a broken camera, they get a new phone within hours. The ladies down here live for taking photos and videos. So those two excuses will never fly. So if that happens to you, block that number permanently. She's a scammer. Tip number two, be on the lookout for a text conversation on your WhatsApp or whatever that goes something like this. I'm talking about within the first few days of hooking up on WhatsApp. You, the guy, will get on your WhatsApp with her and say, how's it going? How you feeling? In Spanish, that would be, ¿cómo estás? ¿Todo bien? How you doing? Everything good? That's the basic common opener for almost every WhatsApp conversation between a man and a woman. And if she does not say, everything's okay, I'm doing fine, and instead comes out with something like, well, not so good today, or there's a problem, or I'm feeling more or less, más o menos. Well, I'll tell you what the average gringo says when he gets that kind of response. Is there something wrong? What's going on? How can I help? Now, remember, almost all these girls do not speak English very well, so they'll be running it through a translator. All these WhatsApp apps now have a translator, and you'll be running your English through a Spanish translator, too. That just seems to be the way it goes. My brother did the same thing. So anyway, the guy will say, "What's wrong? Something going on? Tell me. Maybe I can help." Then she'll sink the hook. That'll be the money shot. She'll say, "Well, grandma's in the hospital, or my sister got her phone stolen, or the electric bill, we can't pay it this month. Oh, and there's this big excuse that gets a gringo every time. I don't have enough money to pay this semester's college tuition. Boo-hoo." It seems that excuse gets a gringo every time because you're thinking, what a diligent, persevering woman she is. Going to college or night school? What better cause could you contribute to? So anyway, after she states the problem, she'll say, "Don't worry, I can handle it. I didn't want to bother you with my problems." And then your savior complex kicks in. You don't want to feel like a heel, so you say something like, "If we're going to have a relationship, we're going to be a couple. You have to tell me these things. Be honest with me." The scammers know that's the way to tug on a gringo's heartstrings. When a girl says, "I didn't want to tell you," you're going to say, "I'm here to help. How much will it cost to fix grandma's teeth?" When she says $50 or $80 or $110, that's no skin off your back. Every gringo could come up with that in a split second. But just wait. For a real scammer, she's only just testing the waters. Next thing, it'll be that car that's been in the shop that she owes $1,800 on. She might even say it's been there for months now, unpaid. She might give you a sob story saying, "It won't move without being repaired. It's taking up space and the mechanic is threatening to put it out on the street." Real creative, those scammers are. In fact, my own brother, well before he met this Latina in person, he'd dropped thousands by Western Union and MoneyGram on ladies in the Philippines, Puerto Rico, even the States. And twice, yes, twice, he sent money to two different ladies at two different times to buy airplane tickets for them to meet up with him in Chicago. He went to the airport, no show. Both times. Fool me once, huh? Talk about feeling like the biggest fool in the world, walking around an airport for 4 hours looking for a girl that never got on the plane. Obviously, just took the money and never bought a ticket. So anyway, my brother's buddy Jimmy really got scammed. Not only did he get scammed out of dough for 2 or 3 months, getting nickeled and dimed to death through Western Union, then came the extortion bid. So then you might ask, how'd that turn out? Well, we're not into the last chapter yet. The ball's in his court. I told him about the ChatGPT thing. I have my doubts he'll go that way because he's just an average guy. And as you know, if you've ever been on the ChatGPT site, it's called OpenAI. You know, there's kind of a learning curve and it helps to be a techie. Bottom line, I'm not going to do it for him. He's just my brother's friend. If it was my brother, different story. Bottom line, when you get on those Cupid sites, Latin Cupid, Philippine Cupid, Russian Cupid, whatever, there are lots of scammers and extortionists out there. The dumbest thing you could do is start sending all kinds of personal photos and personal dats. And if you start sending dick pics, you deserve everything you get. Then again, Jimmy swears that wasn't his Johnson. My brother agrees it's probably not Jimmy's in the photo. My brother says the one in the picture's way too big. A good joke maybe, but for Jimmy, a pretty serious matter, really. Poor Jimmy. He could do a real crash and burn on this. Meanwhile, I've been doing kind of a straw poll amongst expats and gringos I've run into down here. I ask them a couple of simple canned questions. My favorite, what do you most regret? What are your biggest expat regrets? I mean about your old life when you lived back in the States. That said, I'll list the top 5 or 6 answers here in no particular order. Expats regret not taking Spanish in high school or college. Expats regret not having escaped the imploding USA earlier. Well, no big surprise there, huh? All right, the next one, in no particular order once again. Expats regret not majoring in something in college that would really have led to a nice career. I get that all the time from expats and gringos who majored in things like psychology or theater or drama, gender or African-American studies, education, art history. All of them nice hobbies in your spare time, but as a career, no, not a way to make money. Not good money, anyway, unless you're a genius at it. You know, expat Eddie's one of those. He said in college he majored in partying. Actually, business admin. Same thing. All right, the next expat regret in this straw poll is that people tell me all the time they should have traveled outside the country when they were young, not after they hit 60. Very few gringos and expats can successfully hike, climb mountains or volcanoes, or eat street food when they're 60. Next Gringo expat regret? Not having removed incompatible, negative, and annoying, or even toxic people from their lives. I call those people time vampires. In fact, right now when I said those two words, time vampire, somebody's face, somebody you know, popped into your head. Or maybe two or three people popped into your head. All right, another thing on the top list of expat and gringo regrets. And this one's one of the easiest to say, but one of the hardest to do. People say they should have started putting some money away when they were really young so they could retire early and in comfort. Or not really retiring in the traditional sense, sit on your ass and suck down martinis kind of retirement. I'm talking about quitting your main job and doing something you always really wanted to do in the next chapter of your life. Funny thing, too, I remember my mother and my uncles and my relatives saying, save some money, put 25% or 20% or 10% of what you make away every week. Great advice, but I didn't know a single person who actually did that. I couldn't either. Too much temptation to have money laying around. I had a different kind of savings plan. I bought silver and gold coins, and I never cashed them in because I knew I would feel guilty if I did. I liked the way they looked, the way they felt, that each and every one of them was a little piece of history with a date on it. So as an adult, I was way ahead of my buddies, though not my wealthier buddies whose parents had put money away for them, or those who had inheritances from their grandmothers and such. But at least I knew with my little coin collection of silver and gold, as small as it was, though it did grow little by little, I knew I'd never be dead broke like so many of my friends were. A lot of times I didn't have gas money, but I always had some coins in reserve, but I never dipped into them. I always felt good about not ever being completely dead broke, if you know what I mean. All right, moving on to more expat regrets. Well, we've got two top health regrets that most expats have. That they didn't exercise regularly and they ate crappy food, junk food. That is, they regret they should have done, but didn't, exercise regularly and eat more natural foods. They're referring to early on in life. Because, you know, when we're 20 or 30, we all think we're invincible, right? For my money, most gringos and expats still eat like shit. It doesn't matter what age they are. I see them at Pizza Hut, McDonald's, Wendy's all the time. I don't eat there. I peek in the windows when I'm walking by. And every time, as it seems, I go to someone's house or there's a party, they're ordering out pizza. Those delivery guys, those Uber Eats guys and the others, they're so busy poisoning people one crumb at a time. Funny thing is, all my gringo and expat buddies know better. By virtue of being expats and having a plan B, they're more educated and knowledgeable than the average guy in every way. But they just can't kick the junk food habit. And the local Latinos, man, they're a lost cause completely. No use talking to them. They're nuts about junk food. Every time they have extra cash, they're off to Pizza Hut. But man, do you start paying for it when you hit around 50 or 60? I'm still seeing that the vast majority of gringos and expats are out of shape. We all talk a good game about health, diet, exercise, and all that, but man, even those over 50 gringo guys and gals who look pretty good, they're skinny, or appear to be pretty mobile, a lot of them are taking 10 or 15 different pills a day, taking time bombs, which goes to show you just can't tell. Only you know how screwed up your body is, and only you know your own personal history of screwing yourself up. There's one expat I know. He's ex-FBI guy. Yeah, you'd think I'd be keeping away from him, huh? And so would every other expat. In fact, I know two expat former FBI agents, and both of them got the hell out of Dodge and kept their mouth shut. They knew exactly that the walls of Jericho were tumbling down. Anyway, the guy I'm referring to is one of us. Why do you think he got the hell out of Dodge and is living down here in Latin America? Actually, both those ex-FBI guys are one of us. They both have told me at different times the system's rotten to the core. They're so glad they're out of it. They ought to know. Anyway, one of these former FBI guys in particular, Mike, he's a skinny guy, seems to have a lot of energy. He told me he smoked cigarettes for 25 years, a pack a day. He quit just recently after being diagnosed with a slight case of emphysema. He told me in those 35 years, he figured it out, adjusted for inflation, he dropped around $50,000 on cigarettes. And what did he get for that 50 grand? Yellow fingertips and a slight case of emphysema. But, you know, he also said cigarettes are about half as cheap here in Latin America, so it makes it that much harder to quit. By the way, just as an aside here, I've been to lots and lots of all-inclusive resorts, and every one of those big resorts has a huge gymnasium, almost all of them as big or better than a Gold's Gym or other expensive membership gym. You know, it always amazes me when I walk into a gym, and I only do that when the weather's crappy because I'll usually power walk outside, whatever. There have been times when I've seen no one in that gym except me and some trainer sitting on his ass, glued to his smartphone because he's got no one to train up. You know, those big resort gyms always have a trainer or two. The thing is, too, when you see someone in a gym, it's always some cut-up guy or girl, someone who's exercising for a living almost. It's either their hobby or their fitness nuts. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying you almost always see really fit people, the few that are in those gyms. In other words, no average Americans pumping up. And I'm calling out average Americans for a reason, because at those big all-inclusive resorts, I'd say about 90% of the people there are Americans. You know, flying into a resort town, Playa del Carmen, Tulum, Cancun, Punta Cana, Panama City. So those big all-inclusive resorts are filled with Americans, out-of-shape Americans, who have all the time in the world because they're on vacation, but they don't go to the gym. And they are spectacular gyms, too. Same thing goes for those cruise ships. Have you done that? I've taken a few, and they've got spectacular gymnasiums, too, that are virtually empty. And when a few people do trickle in, they're usually cut up and in great shape. You know, the addicted gym rats and people who love to exercise. It's just an odd observation. At resorts and on cruise ships, they've got fantastic gyms that no one uses. Except, generally, the very, very fit. Yet, the women all show up for the yoga and dance classes. But the guys, their out-of-shape boyfriends and husbands, stay far, far away from that stuff. They're all hanging close to the buffet or the bar. So there you have it, just a cynical observation from a frequent traveler. Oh, just one last thing on that list of expat regrets. When I pop that question, I hear from quite a few expats that they really wish that they used that magic word no, N-O, more often in their lives. And when they did say no, especially to their kids, they wish they'd have said it more firmly and more often. Funny thing, I've been hearing lots of expat regrets regarding being too lenient with their kids. Giving too much, letting them have too much, and letting them get away with too much. I guess that's why so many of the over 50 crowd who own businesses complain about the quality of the help these days. It seems they'd much rather hire a middle-aged person than a young adult, because they know the middle-aged guy is probably going to have a much better work ethic. How'd that happen? It couldn't have anything to do with parents trying to be buddies or friends with their kids, instead of instilling a bit of discipline and responsibility in them.
I understand. You discipline them and take away the car keys, you'll hurt their feelings.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.